Okay, if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 from verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness or for righteousness, for they will be filled. I think more than any other week this year, my week has dragged. It's taken a long time to get from Monday to Saturday to get to this point. And it's not because of any referendums or anything like that. It's because next week I plan to be on holiday. And I'm really looking forward to it. And maybe this time next week we'll be not far away from this beach. Well, we won't be far away from this beach, all being well. And I'm really looking forward to it. I would say I have hungered and thirst after this time of holiday. But I know that when I go on holiday, there are going to be things that annoy me. Every time somebody tries to sell me food, even though I need food, I will think they're ripping me off. And I won't let the children get fizzy drinks or anything nice like that. And then the other thing that will annoy me when you see all this beautiful sun and beaches and things like that is it means that at night time there will probably be mosquitoes. And in daytime, there will be wasps. And that will really annoy me as well if I see so many of them. And so I'm looking forward to the holiday. It's going to be good. But at the end of it, in 2 weeks' time after it, I'm probably going to be just as grumpy as I am today. I'm going to have had a rest, and I'm going to have been sort of satisfied. But then I'll come back, and life will be normal. And do you know what I'll probably start thinking about quite soon after I come back from holiday? Like the rest of you, another holiday. So I'll go away to Keswick a week after that as well, which is part of the plan. But all of these things don't tend to satisfy us like we want them to. If you think of all of the football fans who've headed over to France, just you've seen them on TV, and it must have cost. Even to go to one match is probably going to cost you hundreds of pounds to travel there. And if you've managed to stay out in France as long as your team has stayed in the cup, I mean, being Scottish, we don't know what that's like too much these days. But if you manage to stay out there, you give all of your support. And in the end, you're most likely to come home disappointed, with your hopes crushed, with all that you longed for to be taken from you, it would seem, at the last moment of something when another team gets the victory. And it will only be the Irish people who, whether they win or lose, they will come home with smiles on their faces for some reason. But the rest of us are disappointed. And what life offers us is disappointing. The whole European referendum thing, I wrote my sermon before this happened on Thursday, so maybe I should have figured out what was happening. And I don't mind how anybody voted. I don't want to tell you how I voted or anything like that. But what I want to say is, why are people so disappointed and crushed? Well, it's because what we hunger and thirst after, which generally seems to be security in some way for what life rewards us with, when that is threatened in a moment, it seems, when a vote goes the way we didn't want it to or something like that, We get scared, because what we hunger and thirst after isn't going to satisfy us anymore. And so we worry. And so what we are to do is we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. In our house, I think if you were to, and I want you to test, you know, what does your life look like you hunger and thirst after? In our house, if the Wi-Fi goes slow or if the Wi-Fi goes off, we start to get grumpy. And it's not because we were desperate to get onto Facebook to know who to pray for next. It's because our fix of social media or whatever it is that we keep on looking at isn't satisfying us because it's not there anymore. And so there are lots of things in our life. And, you know, what do your friends live for? What do people at work live for? Well, I don't think I've been in a situation like this maybe since the 90s, and maybe it looked different then, and I wasn't there much. But, you know, lots of people, all that matters is the weekend, especially when you're young, free, and single. holidays are that other big thing. But what else do we hunger and thirst after? If I was to get the laser pointer and pick out people here, I could try Liam, that would be good, and just say, what's the most important thing? Liam might have the right answer, but maybe it is his bike. Maybe it is Lotus Cars, or maybe it is serving the Lord at Teen Ranch, which is something that you do, isn't it? That's where you go. So whatever it is, sorry for picking on you, Liam, that wasn't fair. But ask us, what does our life show that we are hungering and thirsting after? Even for Christians, really for Christians, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he's also speaking the gospel to his disciples here, but he is speaking to his disciples and he's telling them the most important thing to hunger and thirst after is righteousness. So we have to be careful not to put family first. We have to be careful not to put security first. In a way, we've got to be careful not to put the church first or the particular denomination we're in first, but we have to seek more than anything else this righteousness. And if we do that, what we start to find is that we can be the people who live happily ever after. What does blessed mean again? Blessed means to be made happy by God. And what we believe is that if we live in the way that Jesus is teaching us in the Beatitudes, we will be made happy by God forever and ever. We will live happily ever after because of the blessing that God gives us in the Beatitudes. Well, how are we satisfied? Jesus starts to teach this sermon, and it's useful for us to get to blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness in the right order. What is the first beatitude? It is that we are to be poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And there seems to be an order here that we will do well to follow so that we can understand. So this is a picture we had when we looked at blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we're poor in spirit, we realize that we are sinners. We have nothing good to offer God. So the only way we can come to God is, as this hymn writer said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. All that we have done has made us empty. We have nothing good that we can really offer God. And then the next one was, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we use the story of the man who went to the temple to pray, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because when he realized that he had nothing, he was also able to see that he only had something that God could be angry with him for. All that we might be able to give God is rubbish. So we have to say, forgive us for our sins. So we realize we had nothing. We realize we're bankrupt. We're poor in spirit. We mourn because of our sin. And God comforts us by giving us forgiveness. But as we move on, we see, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, this picture is the hardest to make sense of. It's hard to display what meekness is. But what we said meekness is thinking of ourselves as God thinks of us, in subjection to him, with God as our authority, and also thinking of ourselves or letting other people think of ourselves as God might think of us. So if I call you a sinner, it's okay. But you're allowed to think of me as a sinner as well. We are not to think of ourselves as good. We're not to look in the mirror and see something better. We're to see what we are really like and not be proud before God or before man. We're to be meek. And if we are meek, then what will happen is that we would submit to the way God wants us to live. And Jesus says, blessed are people who live like this. Well, what have we in our comfort, what happens when we're poor in spirit? We will receive a kingdom. When we mourn for our sin, we will be comforted by forgiveness. And when we are meek, we will inherit the earth. We will get everything that we might need there. There's a story, it's been put into a song years ago. I've got no idea just how true or untrue this story is. But it's a story about a man called Desert Pete. And Desert Pete was going through the desert and he was really, really, really thirsty. And he came to a pump in the desert, a pump that might have looked like that, but more likely a pull up and down pump. I could have got a better picture. And when he got to this pump, he was really thankful. And in a container was some water beside the pump. And there was a note, and it said, "Do not drink this water. Use this water to prime the pump, or there will be no water from the pump." So you had to get the container of water and pour it down into the pump so that there would be enough to start pumping the water out of the pump. What would you do? You've got water there. You're really thirsty. If you don't drink water, you're going to die. Or would you pour the water down into the pump, hoping that fresh water would come? But if the fresh water doesn't come, what's going to happen to you? You die because you've poured away the water. Well, what did Desert Pete do? There's a song about it. So it's got to have had a happy ending, isn't it? Desert Pete put the water down the pump, and he pumped and pumped, and the fresh water comes because he had primed the pump. And he left a note at the end saying, "Trust me, you've got to give it all away before you can get any out." We have nothing to give to God so that we can get any out. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross we cling. And if we think that we've got anything to offer, well, we have to turn that over, and we have to say, "God, it's you that gives us absolutely everything we need." And that's where we get with the Beatitudes here, that we have to sense and recognize that we have nothing, that we are broken. What have we figured out? Poor in spirit, I've got nothing. Mourn for my sin, because I am not righteous, I am unrighteous. Meek, what does meek mean? Well, I understand I have to see myself as God sees me, and that is not righteous. So what we discover about ourselves after all this is not that we are wealthy with all the treasures that God allows us to have, but we are poor and we're bankrupt. So we start to seek. If you were bankrupt, what would you start looking for? Money, I suppose. And being spiritually bankrupt, we start looking for righteousness. And that's what God gives us, and that's what we can have. So we are to hunger and thirst after this thing called righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? Well, righteousness that we're going to look at now has three aspects to it. The first aspect is this legal aspect. Do you know what that is? Do you know who that person is? Neil, what sort of person is that? Do you know? No, you wouldn't know. And I hope that you don't have to meet them too often. But that's a judge. That is a Scottish judge. She's even got a name. It's Lady something, but I can't remember what it is. But she is one of our judges. So if we go to court and we're accused of something, then it will be the judge who says, "I find you not guilty or guilty." And righteousness is a legal thing. There is a righteous judge who has to find us not guilty or guilty. And what we discover in this, looking at righteousness here, is that as we look at the previous Beatitudes, none of us, if we were to appear before a judge, none of us are able to be declared righteous on our own. In a legal sense, we are guilty of sinning against God. And we can know this in Romans chapter 3. It tells us that there is no one who does good. It's quoting from the Old Testament. No one has done good. Not anybody has done good. So how do we get righteousness? Well, in Romans chapter 3, it tells us that our righteousness comes by believing. And what is it that we believe? This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So we've got some words there. Is this working? We've got some words. We need the righteousness. You see, righteousness, we need that. We get it by believing through faith. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are justified. And justified is also a legal word. Our sins are taken away. And justified means that our sin is not counted against us, but it also has another implication. It means that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is given to us. So when we seek after righteousness, we're wanting our sins taken away, and we are wanting God's righteousness to be given to us. So we hunger and thirst after that righteousness in a legal sense. But then the second way that we might hunger and thirst after righteousness is in a moral sense, that we keep on wanting to make ourselves better people. And it's not bad if you want to make yourself a better behaved person, a kinder person, a more righteous person. And if we were to try and figure out how would you seek after righteousness, what would you use to try and keep your life righteous? Anybody got an answer to something you might use to try and keep your life righteous? It's not too difficult in a church to find something. Come on, wake up, come with me. What is it, Callum? Read the Bible. Okay, so I went to your house and I took this picture of your family, or a family like yours. See the thing about Google Images, lots of the pictures are American. So when families come together, they all look happy. And it looks like life is perfect, because when we read the Bible in our house, I've got the mic, but we tend to have to shout, come and sit down at the table, and Fiona, get your feet off the table, and stuff like that. It's never quite like that, but it's not as nice as that. But if we are going to try and keep living in a righteous way morally, we cannot neglect what the Bible teaches, and that's where we will find out how to do it. So we will look for righteousness in our lives. We'll try and live a righteous life before God, which means that we keep going to him, praying for forgiveness, but seeking to be made more like him. And the third way that we apply this righteousness, as it has been found in this statement that Jesus made, is that we have a social righteousness, that we think of others all the time as we go and live our Christian life. Now, you don't pick that up from the first few Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So that's about ourselves. Those who mourn because of our sin, it's about ourselves. The meek, well, it's subjecting ourselves to the way God thinks of us, but also allowing people to do that. Seek righteousness. This starts to look outside. But number five definitely starts to look outside. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Who can we be merciful to other than to other people? We've not to be merciful to God, it's to be towards other people. Blessed are the pure in heart is less obviously towards those who are not ourselves, but our pure hearts must also consider others and not be selfish. What about the peacemakers? Well, where are you to make peace? You make peace between people, you make peace with other people, and you hope that people would have peace with God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Well, who is going to persecute you? It's going to be other people. And so this righteousness that we have has to be a social righteousness that also looks to other people and recognizes that we need to be like them. And there's a danger, we'll come up against it in a few weeks when we look at Mark chapter 2, where Jesus goes and eats with Levi and with his friends, and the Pharisees were against him doing that because he was mixing with the unrighteous. And the danger is that we start to think, well, we have to keep ourselves pure, and so we don't go places and don't do things like that. But somebody that was helpful about this on his commentary in the Sermon on the Mount was Martin Luther. The command to you is not to crawl into a corner or into the desert, but to run out, if that is where you have been, and to offer your hands and your feet and your whole body, and to wager everything you have and can do. He meant to do that in serving others, in meeting the needs of people who are suffering from unrighteousness. And what Luther was really wanting to say to us is, he finishes it by saying, that if you can't make the world completely pious, or if you can't make the world completely holy, then do what you can. And we're not to think, oh, we are the poor people in this isolated bubble, but we are to be the people that burst out of the bubble and go and do all that we can to make this world as righteous as we can. So we seek legal, moral, and social righteousness. So we hunger and thirst after it. Well, Psalm 42 tells us that, again, it's a psalm that tells us what God's word says, but it says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet my God? I've never, ever been so close to a deer to hear it panting for water. It's quite a strange thing if you actually do hear the noises that deer make if you're sitting in a dark place in the middle of the night. But when you see a deer needs the water, it can't survive without it. And that's how we are to be before God. We can't survive without coming to God. And we're thirsty for him. Psalm 63 says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So as we come to God, we come thirsty, and it's him that we're thirsty for. It's all that he gives us that we want. It's not all of life's pleasures that drive us. It is God himself. And Christians struggle with this. A book that I've had to start reading, and I'm working my way through it slowly, is an old Puritan paperback published by Banner of Truth, which must mean I'm solid. Well, I'm too solid. But it's called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. Why do I need to read that? Because I'm starting to get dissatisfied with God and not be completely satisfied that God offers me everything and gives me everything I need in him. And I'm getting like everybody else in the world we live in and thinking, what will make me happy is a little bit more. And we all go through times like that, but what we are to be satisfied in is God himself. And when we go to him, we find that he does satisfy us. Psalm 17 verse 14 tells us, you still the hunger of those you cherish. When we come seeking after God, he does satisfy us. We sang Psalm 107, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfied the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. And when we come to God, he gives us all that we need in these things. I was speaking to somebody recently, and I don't know why people need to tell me things like that, but somebody told me there were three ways we put on weight. The first way is when we are a little bit fat and we get sad, so we comfort eat. And that made us happy. And then we get sad, so we comfort eat. And it's a cycle that doesn't stop. The second way that people get fat is that we eat the wrong things, we snack, and we don't do exercise. We do just what... so distracting when something rolls, isn't it? So we get fat by snacking on the wrong things, and you can see that. And the third way that we get fat, which if anybody saw me at the last curry night, you'd understand this could be my problem, is we don't know when we're full. And we keep on eating. Now, what's this got to do with hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Well, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me... Oh, I've gone slow. Okay, that was me yesterday. I'm the bread of life. We read that, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Hey, what's this saying? Jesus says, you'll not be hungry. Jesus says, you'll never thirst. And Jesus says in this beatitude, you will be made happy by God if you keep on hungering and keep on thirsting after righteousness. So is he contradicting himself? Well, it's by being hungry and thirsty after righteousness, we tend to find that he fills us with himself. He fills us with the good things. And when you get the good things, you keep on eating the good things. In our house, we are common. Some of you have started to recognize that as you come in. But one of the ways we're common is that this is the coffee we like. We like instant coffee. None of this stuff that goes in the cafetieres for us. When you come, we will happily give it to you. I say happily, we will, I'll promise. But about 10 years ago, we discovered Gold Blend. And we have tried cheaper, we've tried the cheaper versions of Gold Blend. And that. Just because it says gold by someone else, it's not the same. It's not the coffee for us. We keep going back to the same place for the same coffee. We like it. When you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you keep going back to the place where your satisfaction comes from. And that is, you keep going back to God. You keep going back every day. Legal righteousness. Lord, forgive me my sins. You keep going back for social, for moral righteousness. Lord, the good I want to do, I don't do. The evil I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Help me. Change me. Lord, this is one we probably don't pray as much as we should. So-and-so is in a lot of trouble. Will you help me to do what I can to help them? We keep going back, seeking righteousness, and he fills us. But we will be satisfied. Psalm 17, verse 14 said that the Lord, you still the hunger of those you cherish. The next verse says, and I in righteousness will see your face. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with seeing your likeness. How will we see his face? And I in, do you remember what the word was? Righteousness will see your face. We hunger and thirst after righteousness, and in righteousness we will see his face, because he stills our hunger. He cherishes the hunger of those who love him. He stills the hunger of those who cherish him, or those he cherishes. We will be filled. Revelation 16 and 17. A heavenly picture. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. Jesus says, happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. Why will you not thirst? Why will you be happy? Because Jesus himself will lead you to the springs of living water, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of God, of the world. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so the question has to be, are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Do you want your sins forgiven? Do you want to be a better person? And do you want the world to be a better place? Well, everybody wants the world to be a better place. You might think, well, where are you going to start? You've got to start by being poor in spirit. And you will then be given the kingdom of God. You've got to then mourn because you're a sinner. And God will comfort you, because he alone can comfort you by taking away your sin. You've got to be meek. You've got to understand and submit to God's ways. And then you will be somebody who recognizes you had nothing. You seek after everything God can give you. We have to see how Jesus teaches us to live in this way. What a desperate situation many people are in this world, because things are broken and there's no kingdom. There's great sadness, but no comfort. There's a lot of pride, but nothing good to inherit. Hungering and thirsting after everything else, and they will not be filled by that thing. Ultimately, anything else we hunger and thirst after, it can be taken away in a moment, just in a moment. We see that in all different situations. The best thing then, selfishly and for God's glory, to seek after, to hunger and thirst after, is righteousness. Because we will be filled by him forever. Let's pray.